Lonely lovebirds looking for love. Well, let me tell you what, my name is Jenny Tallwatz, and I'm here on behalf of the Giant Size Team Up Network to help you find love. We've launched ourselves a brand new dating site just in time for Valentine's Day. I like to call it the caring, unintuitive, classic kosher site. Each of our shows are looking for love in all the wrong places, but I think we can help you find exactly what it is you're looking for. If you're looking for a break in the panel package, well, you won't find much of a package, but you will find an awful lot of white in there. And don't worry, you'll never need to make another decision again because they'll bully you into doing whatever they want to do anyways. Perfect for the submissive, deaf, blind type. Maybe into something a little kinkier? Maybe you should check out our Pokemon Go podcast. Yeah, Joe's married and all, but he's a Mormon, so it's cool. Also, hope you like getting dressed up, because he's really into Pokemon. I mean, really into Pokemon. And if you play your cards right, he might literally get into some Pokemon. Wink. Blazing Defender report, Travis Jones is also happily married, but he's actually been submitted by his wife Shannon, who's tired of his bullshit. If you're looking for a big muscly man with little old baby legs like in that Deadpool 2, then look no further. You can live out all your firefighting fantasies or Thanos fantasies. Our FTH Beyond package also goes by the Already Pregnant package. For those looking to get into the childbearing game sooner rather than later, as in right now, we definitely recommend the FTH Beyond package. Few words from Kurt's sultry voice and boom, pregnant with triplets. And that's on the low end. Botched a D&D podcast is for those of you who are looking for a kind of schizophrenic drunken love where you're not quite sure who you're going to be with every night, and even then you don't even know if they're going to be coherent enough to do anything you'd like to do anyways. Toy Power's a little on the nose, I think, but it's for the ones looking for all kinds of little kinky experimental love. And if you could talk about old toys, that's just a bonus. And lastly, Geek Versus. This is sort of an intervention for Tony P. Henderson. Have you ever wanted to live out your Uncle Phil fantasies? Well, now here's your chance, because Tony P. Henderson is about as single can get, and looks just like him. Mosey on up to him and do the Carlton dance, and he'll just melt right in your arms. If you'd like to look at all of our eligible or forced bachelors, head on over to www.giantsizeteamup.com. I, Jenny Tallwatz, promise you that you'll find love in all of the right places. Here at the Dating for Caring, Unintuitive, Classic, Kosher site, good luck.
Hey, everybody!
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
Phil is rocked and rolled already. This is Breaking the Panel, a rock deity-less Breaking the Panel, no less. I am none other than Soapbox Klotz, and I am joined today. It's a duo. It's a two-man queue, joined by none other than Mr. Philip Keating. How's it going, Phil?
Oh, man. You know, it feels good to not have the weight of my faith or my religion on us anymore. This show is open and free to express themselves however we want, without, you know, the god of rock staring down and bringing the show down. You know, it's the two-man show. It feels good, feels right. It's the double team supreme, you might say.
Take off your blouse and your underpants. Sorry. All right.
Take a look at what we have in store.
Yeah, so Charles wasn't feeling well today, and so he will not be joining us.
Yeah, he let us know pretty early, like as if he was nursing a hangover from the night before.
Yeah, like so he let us know so early that it felt like somebody coming up with a bullshit excuse.
Yeah, like he was up all night drinking with his friends after playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And just calling out because he was sick. Yeah, no. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, I've been a retail manager before, so I've heard the,
oh, I don't feel well,
phone calls. Yeah.
I've made a couple of those. I also, when I worked, I worked at Blockbuster, I once called in because I didn't want to come in and told them I got into a car accident. And I was at my friend's house two afternoon drunk. They're like, all right, well, yeah, when that all gets cleared up, you can just come in. It's all right if you're late. I was like, all right.
Yeah. at one point, I'm pretty sure the same grandmother passed away three times, and she had already been passed away, so that was kind of awkward. But, you know, The troubles of youth, the integrity of youth is really the main story there. So kicking this off, we're going to talk about some news with Disney. A couple of little tidbits. This one popped up on my radar as well this week. I believe Charles brought this one to the table, though. Disney promises that Marvel will keep making R-rated Deadpool movies. And an extension to that as well, Iger also said that they're, the other Fox properties that people were worried about outside of the Marvel stuff, like Aliens and a couple other titles, they said they're also going to continue to make those. So that set some fears at ease, right?
Yeah, I mean, I even though, you know, the mouse was taking it over, I really never thought it was a thing that they were going to stop these Deadpool films that are making them millions upon millions upon millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just going to put it under a different production company. You know, one of the seven other Disney production companies that makes R-rated films. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to see the castle, you know, the Disney castle.
Oh, yeah.
And Deadpool's jerking off the top of the castle. I mean, I nailed it. And so did he nail that castle. But,
yeah,
you know, there's multiple different studios that they have access to now that they bought Fox as well, you know. And that's what Disney was doing. They were buying studio space.
Yeah, as well as I know there were some concerns about like FX as a channel, for example, because they tend to deal with some darker content and stuff. I really just don't think they're going to delete Fox off the face of the planet as a brand.
No way.
It seems crazy that they would, you know, to do so anyway. So this is good news. This is particularly good news for Deadpool fans because, you know, everybody knows. You know, we want to see more of the Ryan Reynolds Deadpool, you know, I almost said Ryan Reynolds helmed because he really is, he does feel like he's the creative impetus behind the films, even if he's not necessarily the director or the main writer or anything like that. You can tell that he's the spirit animal of the franchise.
Well, I mean, it's always been a rumor that he's the one who leaked out the test footage.
I wouldn't blame him.
Yeah, of what they shot to get this movie into production.
So I imagine at some point he will retire from the role, and it just makes the most sense that he would do so. It would be pretty incredible if he were to finally admit that he was the one that did it when he does. But I don't. I think he's got to be like done with the action movies. But that's it. When he does that, you know, it's maybe it'll be like 10 years out or whatever.
I don't think he needs to really. Because you got to think, you know, with these other actors like Evans or Helmsworth, they don't have the real opportunity to be fully covered in a mask and bodysuit like Deadpool does. So, you know, they can have pickup shots, but he doesn't really have to keep fit too hard because he's mostly doing the voiceover work for a fully masked superhero.
He could potentially they could just transition it. Well, but then all the weights, you know, the weight spots would be different, but
sure.
And it's not like he's going to cease to be physically fit and everything.
No, he's looked the same for the last 600 years.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, they're like Spider-Man. There's so many different Deadpool variations out there. So that could be another way to pass the chimichangas off to somebody else is just pull in a different timeline or a different character aspect of Deadpool. Now that Cable is in with time travel, I mean, fuck, anything's really possible now. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, back to the topic at hand. Iger says he hinted that these films won't be released under the traditional Marvel or Disney banner. The company will make it an effort to ensure that it is carefully branding R-rated films so that they're not in any way confusing the consumer. That will come as a relief for fanboys and fangirls who worried that the Disney might scrub a certain merc's mouth out with soap. I mean, it's clear that that would be a poor decision. You know, it's we understand that Disney has to control their image to a certain extent because of who they are and the fact that the bulk of their business, the bulk of Disney's business, is aimed at children and families. But let's be real, bringing Fox into the fold means your business is no longer strictly catering to families. Now you're catering to everyone. You know, like you just basically bought in. You spent $71.3 billion to buy a brand that is steeped deeply in the more mature content side of content, even on the television side. You know, Fox has always been a network that has pioneered, you know, some of the darker content that's been on network TV. So I think it would be crazy to think that they would stop doing that. I just think they're going to keep it distinctively different from the rest of their offerings. So this is good news. Similar news from Disney as well here is Captain Marvel will be the first Disney Plus exclusive film following the theatrical release. Which means no Netflix.
Yep.
It's going to go right to their streaming service.
Well, they've talked about this before, that Ant-Man and the Wasp was going to be the last thing to hit the Netflix. So it makes sense that this is the next film to come out for, you know, Marvel to hit right to that Plus service. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm going to buy this without opening it and then watch it on Plus.
So this was this news came out of the investors call yesterday, and Iger again told investors that Disney plans to forego its current rate of $140 million year-over-year in licensing revenue in favor of moving its currently licensed content to Disney+. He noted that Captain Marvel will be the first Disney movie that the company will completely withhold from its licensee partners. The news follows their decision in 2017 to stop licensing its films to services like Netflix. So basically, we knew this was coming. We now have the definitive, this is the first film that's going to go strictly to Disney+. So there's your transition point, folks. You know, probably around mid to late summer this year is when you're going to see your first Marvel films start popping up on there as the first place to get them outside of the theater.
Now, Paul, are you going to get this service?
Do I personally intend to give Disney money for this service?
Yes.
That is unlikely. Do I think a member of my household will get this service?
Okay, absolutely. Okay, so Sean is going to get this.
Sean is almost certainly going to get this.
Okay. Are you excited for anything that Disney Plus is going to be putting out?
It remains to be seen. Okay. So you're leading me down a pathway here where I got to go on a tangent. I'm not a big Disney person. I'm actually not a big children's content person. I appreciate a lot of that stuff, but it's just not something that drives my habits. You know what I mean?
No.
Well, no.
I understand. I understand what you're saying, but you couldn't be more wrong about your statement. But that's fine. You're allowed your bullshit, you know, lifestyle, and that's what makes America great.
It doesn't. Shut the fuck up.
But I'm going to have to fucking very strongly disagree with you on that. But so you don't have any, like, nostalgia for any, like, Disney films growing up, live action or animated? Are you not a Kingdom Hearts, like, fan either?
Have we not talked about this?
No, I don't think we have.
I fucking abhor the whole concept of Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I got Sean into a bit of a hissy fit the other day. Okay, so here's the thing.
No, I can't believe that people are listening to us become not friends.
My issue with Kingdom Hearts is it's not meant for me.
What?
I was, when Kingdom Hearts came out, when did the first film come out?
The first.
Or game, sorry.
2002.
Okay, that was my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
So that's a big swing and a miss for me. You know what I mean? Like, I am at that point where I'm starting to, you know, I'm transitioning into adulthood. I'm going off to college. I'm focusing on, quote-unquote, adult things at that point in my life. I'm getting pulled into, you know, more mature cinema. I'm getting pulled into, you know, more mature music and college experiences and all that kind of stuff. I'm smoking a lot of weed and drinking a lot of beer.
Me too.
Characters are the farthest thing from my mind. In the meanwhile, though, I did grow up playing Final Fantasy. I had Final Fantasy Tactics and Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation 1, and I love those games. So when I saw this game come along where it's like, this is essentially a Final Fantasy game with Disney characters, I'm like, no, thank you. Like, I couldn't be less interested. Like, it rips me out of a narrative, like caring about a narrative when you're like, oh man, we're going to win this battle through the power of friendship. And then Goofy walks on and goes, yeah, we are. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. That just doesn't work.
You don't get down with the Country Bear Jamboree?
No.
That's not part of your narrative?
No. And so there was we talked about this when I sent you the video of the dude who's kind of mocking the voices in the writing.
Oh, yep.
The reality is, it's not written for adults. It's unless you are like, oh man, nostalgia. I really love Disney. I love everything about it. And I'm totally stoked about it. The writing is so fucking juvenile that I can't do it. Like, and not to mention none of the Kingdom Hearts games are short. Not even close.
No, none of the 12 Kingdom Hearts games that are out there that all matter to the story, you know, overarching storyline. So I
feel like if Kingdom Hearts had come out 4 years earlier than it did, I might have gotten into it. I might have been, you know, I would have been, you know, like that just transitioning out of junior high or whatever. I might have been more open to it. If it had come out closer to when 7 came out, I might have been more into it. You know what I mean? Any number of things might have led me to getting into it. But I mean, dude, I was playing online games like Ultima Online and EverQuest on my PC. I was playing, you know, the Baldur's Gate games. I was playing PlayStation 2 games because that was the year that I bought my PlayStation 2 because I got my first job out of high school and I bought my own PlayStation 2. And yeah, dude, I just didn't have room in my life for something like that at the time. And since then, it's like, I just don't, I've watched clips of some of the dialogue. I could not get through that. Here's the thing, though. I'm saying all of this, it's not for me. That doesn't mean it's not for you. It doesn't mean it's not for somebody else. I completely respect if other people like it. It's just everything that I hate about, like, fan service games. Like, just, it doesn't appeal to me.
It is very fan service. I'll give you that.
Right. And so, you know, yeah, that similarly, that's why the service, you know, this Disney Plus service, I'm not going to go watch old Disney movies. I'm not going to, I own a couple, like Big Hero 6. They gave it to me for free with Movies Anywhere, but honestly, I love that movie. That's a great movie. I loved Moana. That's a great movie.
Don't get me started with Moana.
Right. So
Coco, but those are, those are Pixar films and
right. You know,
they fuck you up differently than the Mighty Ducks or any of those other Disney films. They just have better writing. But I mean, you don't care about like The Mandalorian or any of the original Star Wars content that might be coming out on that service?
I will probably check. I will certainly check that out because I know Sean will get it. I'm going to admit something terrible here, but if I didn't live with someone who was definitely going to sub to the service when The Mandalorian came out, I would absolutely pirate it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, it's just like,
you would Plex it. Come on. Plex.
Oh, I don't have a Plex, but yeah.
We use the word Plex for pirating. It sounds better.
I would steal that shit. I would steal it so good. Did you all hear me at home? Everyone, I would steal it. Yar. No. I'd probably end up catching it on the streaming site or just download it. But yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I really had no idea of your heartlessness.
It's not that I
see,
hate
if you
everything.
Played Kingdom Hearts, you would know that like that's a big part is the monsters in it.
Oh yeah, the heart of the fucking cards. Yes, I'm aware. Yeah, yeah, that, I'm aware of the shitty fucking central plot to the Kingdom Hearts game.
Oh, it's great. Just don't think about
that.
It.
The power of fucking friendship is literally the plot.
No. Yeah.
Yes. No, it's the power of friendship.
It's deeper than that, Paul. Now listen.
Yeah, it's deep as a kiddie pool.
If you smoke a little bit of weed, put on Kid A, and then play yourself through the first game like I did.
Play with yourself through the first game.
Yeah, well, I was listening to Kid A.
I didn't know Donald got you going like that, buddy.
You know, it's that voice. I get it. I certainly do.
Yeah. But I don't want to, like, after saying all of that, I don't want to bag on it. If you love it, that's cool. There's stuff that I like. There's fucking Tolkien, for example. There are people who are like, I don't understand why anybody likes Lord of the Rings. And I'm like, you're wrong, but I get it. And like my sister, for example, loves the movies, tried reading the book. She couldn't get through one of them. She's not like that kind of a reader. She doesn't read high fantasy. You know, I get it. Like it's dense. It's overly complex. It's dry as fuck. It might as well be a Dune, you know, a spinoff of the Dune world because it's so fucking dry. You know, actually, I saw a meme on the internet today where it's like, oh, this is Aragorn, son of Arathorn, and his name means this and Sindarin and blah, blah, blah. And also, here's Mount Doom because that's Tolkien. You know, it's like I invented a whole language for three different subspecies of elves. Also, you know. Here's a simply named thing. Bag End.
Yeah. Here's Gollum.
Now, I get it. I get that people love it. People who love Disney, people who like what it offers, and that's cool. Same way I feel about the service. I've said this before. If you have kids, it'd be a no-brainer not to get this. Like, you're going to have access to all kinds of Disney television stuff. You're going to have access to the movies. You're going to have access to Pixar. Star Wars, everything else, like it would be dumb for you. If you're looking at any of the services, there's one service if you have a family that just shines above all the others once this happens.
Hulu.
Yeah, no, not Hulu.
Which we'll talk about later on in the show. I have a redaction to say about Hulu, but we will get there. Well, that's a shame, you know, because and this kind of leads us into our next topic, but Taika Waititi is actually directing most of The Mandalorian, so hopefully he'll win you over on the service with that. But that's not what we're talking about now. What we are talking about is the rumors that he will be taking over Guardians 3. Now, let's backtrack and tell the origin story of Uncle Ben being shot or the Bruce Wayne parents being shot, you know, James Gunn was fired. That's enough. That's all we need to talk about that. And it's been speculated that who's going to take over this part? Who's going to do it? Somebody's got to do it. Who is good at balancing multiple characters but also putting comedy in? And everyone's like, fucking Ragnarok was pretty great. Let's just get that dude. He's funny. I've seen him do other things like vampires and awkward sharks versus eagles. Let's get him. And he said, no, thank you. That's James's films. That's got James' fingerprint all over it. I would love to do anything else for you guys, Disney, but I ain't no fucking dummy. And I ain't touching that at all.
Yeah, his exact quote from the interview here is, they asked if the studio had talked to him about it, and he's like, if he had considered it. And he's like, I didn't really. For me, those are James's films. Going into something like that with his stamp all over his films would be like going to someone's house and saying, hey, I'm your new dad, and this is how we make peanut butter sandwiches now. It feels kind of awkward.
Which is the most perfect thing for him to...
It's the most Taika response.
Yeah, it's the most Taika.
I was almost going to try to do his accent, but I knew I would have butchered it.
No, you would have done great.
But, I mean, yeah, that's a landmine, right? Like, somebody's going to have to take this job, right?
I was so happy when this came out, Paul. Mm-hmm. I've been very vocal about my stance about the entire thing. And then when I heard the rumors of Taika possibly taking over, it really put me into a weird conundrum about allegiances and where I hold myself as a human and my beliefs, because that would have been very hard for me to not go to that movie.
Yep.
And so for him to come out and say, yeah, no, fuck off. I got other plans. It brings a lot of pressure off of me, but also, you know, I feel good that he's a smart enough dude to know, you know, the paycheck would be lovely, but mm-hmm. he still has artistic integrity and, you know, respect for the man who he would be taking the job over from. So it brought a lot of joy to me.
Well, I also, like, I feel like it's a booby trap, right? It's a minefield for anybody who's established like he is and who has done other work in the MCU right now. I think if anybody takes over that project, it's got to be somebody perhaps a little bit obscure and up-and-comer, or somebody coming out of a different, like somebody who hasn't been dabbling in the superhero genre at all. And would be a big, like, surprise. Kind of like how, you know, with Solo, you got Ron fucking Howard to come, you know, swoop in out of nowhere. You definitely don't want somebody who's close to everything else that's going on in the MCU. And
Quentin Tarantino.
No, jeez. Well, he's going to be free soon, it seems. So. Yeah. Yeah, no, so they're going to find somebody to do that. Or they'll scrap it. Maybe enough people will turn.
And to be honest with you, I hope that they scrap it.
I don't hope that they scrap it, because presumably we need a resolution to this storyline.
Could we not get one with Endgame coming out?
I feel like it's going to set up the third film.
I don't know. They're talking about possibly having an intermission in the middle of Endgame.
Maybe they did pickups to change the plot a little bit. I don't know.
I feel like there's too much drama and there's too much controversy around this film that no matter what is put out is not going to do well. I don't think it's going to be received well from fans. Kind of like even if it was a great movie or people actually enjoyed it, like Solo, it got fucking hammered because of all the drama around it. Hammered. And I'm nervous that, you know, with all the drama that's been going around this film, this director, and the way that things were handled, I don't think it's not going to get hammered if it actually comes out. But with that said, who would you have direct this if this was to come out?
I don't know. I mean, that's the tough part, is I don't know who they could possibly tap. Well, actually, I do know. I don't know if he's interested in working with them again, but I think the logical go-to would probably be Joss Whedon.
I don't think there's enough money in the world for that to ever happen.
Well, actually, I don't even think it's the money. I think if they offered him the kind of money that he got offered to clean up Justice League, he would do it. I think the issue is he's kind of tainted after all the stuff that came out during the Justice League period, and the fact that Justice League was notably repaired by his presence and his influence, but it was not fixed. You know what I mean?
Sure, but he also had drama leaving Marvel because they wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't think, like, unless you give him 100% creative control, which nobody at Marvel or Disney would ever be dumb enough to do, because, you know, Paul Feige is really just the puppet master controlling everything right now. Beautifully, I may say. You know, he's done a really great job, but I don't think he'll ever give up creative control to Joss Whedon. I think that's the only thing he wants to get, you know, to come back to something like this.
Yeah, that's valid.
A rumor that I've heard, which kind of would be interesting, would be Bradley Cooper. He just directed A Star Is Born.
He just proved himself with A Star Is Born. He's close to the franchise.
Yep.
He doesn't appear in the film in a physical form, so
yep.
You know, there's only so much. I mean, we know the voice actors aren't pulling the same hours that the live actors are.
No.
So it's entirely feasible that he could do that. It also, you know, that's a tasty rumor, because I think that's one of the only options they could go with that doesn't poison the well for them, because he's part of the family, right?
Yeah, no, of course.
Because you're going to get, you know, you're going to get Dave Bautista, who's like, I don't want to work for some schmuck. I want to work for the guy I know already. And nobody wants to work for a scab, but if one of you is the one that rises up to lead the project and bring your franchise home, essentially, because it would have to be under the understanding, like, this third film is it. Like, we're done. We're all done. You know, write us all out. If you want to do Guardians of the Galaxy going forward with a whole new team, by all means, do it. But, you know, I think Saldana's going to want to walk away. Batista's going to want to walk away. Cooper will probably want to walk away as well. Cooper could be, you know, right on the cusp of launching a big directorial career.
Yeah.
You know, he could become the next Clint Eastwood. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm saying, like, you know, Clint Eastwood did films in his youth, and as he got older, he transitioned to producing and directing, and he is a good director. He's produced some pretty incredible films, and he still acts, and he, you know what I mean? Like, it's become a little bit of a meme the last few years, because it's getting, you know, he's getting up there, and he's a little out of touch with stuff, and he had a whole conversation with a ghost Obama, but I think Bradley Cooper could follow that trajectory. He's kind of a perfect fit for it. So, yeah. I mean, he's nominated for Best Director, isn't he?
I believe he is.
He could smash an Oscar home, you know, in a month here. So it's entirely possible that Bradley Cooper's the go-to guy. I honestly think that is probably the smartest thing I've ever heard come out of your mouth. I don't mean that as a slam on you. I mean, no, I really do think that is probably the smartest suggestion. We know we can do it now. And the big thing is going to be, it stays in the family. You know, you're not bringing in some scab, and he can bring it home.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, James's script was already written.
Yep. And what Marvel had said until the hype died down was that they still intended to go forward with the script.
Correct.
So
there you go. I mean, you just need somebody to fill those shoes, and he would be.
And there's nothing ruling out, you know, it would never be admitted out loud until well after the fact, but I cannot imagine that if Bradley Cooper got the gig, he wouldn't first try to get James's blessing, and that he wouldn't go to James, hey, can we get a lunch or coffee or something, and can you just kind of run me through this real quick, like, to definitely make sure that I'm on the same page as to what you were going to do? Because that, I think, like, if I were in a position like that, I were involved in a project like that, and I was the go-to choice to rise up and take over the project, I would want the predecessor to sit down with me and walk me through it. Because it's really one of those situations where everybody involved knows that it was bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, even I'm sure Disney executives who basically fired him all knew it was bullshit. It was all just to save face because they felt cornered.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, if you appeal to his artistic side, James Gunn is going to say, yeah, I want to see that last film be good, especially because his name is still attached to it as a writer, and it would be the culmination of his trilogy. So I think that's a possibility. That might be crazy. That might be asking a lot, because we know he's working for DC now. Obviously, any sit-down like that I'm talking about would be completely off books. You know what I mean?
It's kind of like asking for someone's hand in marriage. You go, you know, you talk to the father first to make sure that, you know, everyone's good to go. But if that is what happens, And you know, I really hope that it's more than just a rumor floating around, that it's actually something that mm-hmm. is being talked about. I would have to maybe rethink my position on backing it.
I mean, if it's, like I said, if it's one of the family, then it's not such a big deal.
Yeah. You know, it's better than bringing in, I don't even have a, Brian Singer and directing it, you know. He has, you know, but you get my point.
We've already moved past one pedophile issue with this film, okay?
Oh, shit, you're right. Shame on me.
That would be the most fucking stupid thing. Oh, my God. I would get, dude. The episode of this show, if they announced that Brian Singer was going to do the third Guardians film, that first episode of Breaking the Panel would be unlistenable, because it would just be 45 minutes of me going, are you fucking stupid?
No, it would not just be
you. It would never happen, though.
I'm going to go out there and say that Bradley Cooper got snubbed for Best Director. He did. He certainly did. He didn't get a director Oscar nomination this year. Hmm. But they got nominated for A Star Is Born everywhere else.
Yeah. It is what it is. We'll see how it all plays out. It's an interesting, like, just, you know, thought experiment to try to figure out how you would solve that.
You know who's good at directing ensembles? Wes Anderson.
Man, arguably not, though.
No, arguably, most certainly.
Like, they'd all be wearing red caps and, like,
yep,
and track suits. It'd be really awkward.
And they would just, you know, Bowie.
Yeah.
Which is the soundtrack to the stars.
Actually, I would be totally fine with the Bowie part. Like, if the whole soundtrack for the third Guardians movie was just Bowie songs, it would be great.
Well, we'll see what's on that brown Zune if this movie ever gets made. What do you think, real quick, before we get off this topic, do you think Lord and Miller would be able to do this?
No.
No?
No.
Do you think them getting fired off Solo is enough for Disney to say?
100% yes. Like, fuck off. Like, no way. Dude, if you get fired off a Disney movie, your career is really rough.
Yeah, but I don't want it.
Warner Brothers might hire him, though. They're hiring everybody else.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just got a job offer from Warner Brothers. I saw those films you made in college. And
After this episode goes live and somebody at Warner Brothers hears how much I hate Disney, they're going to be like, hey, buddy.
How do you like sepia and blue tint?
Yeah. How do you like a dark wash over your entire life?
Slow motion of pearls falling to the ground.
Well, you know how I feel about that slow motion of pearls.
Well, on that note,
we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how Netflix didn't pay taxes last year. I'm going to rant for several minutes about how people are stupid, as I always do. And we'll probably find a couple other things to throw your way. And hopefully, if I can get it working, we'll have a speak pipe when we get back. So, stick around. Wham, bam, 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 bam. Soon.
Why should Netflix pay their taxes if the president hasn't paid their taxes?
No politics. Stop it. Season means production.
Okay. This is Mike, your post-production editor for Breaking the Panel. But if you love the show and you love the guys, here's how you can help. Go to Patreon, give us money, and we'll give you things in return. Merch. We have merch. Merchandise. We got mugs. We got t-shirts. And there may be other things. I haven't actually gone there to look yet, but I know Charles has said the words mugs and t-shirts. So it's tiny.cc/GSTU. Merch. Buy the merch. Oh, there's a link on our website as well. So go to the Breaking the Panel page, click on the link, go to the merch website, buy the merch, and we get money. So any way you want to look at it, give us money. Okay, back to the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Breaking the Panel. I hope your break was super swell, as swell as ours was, because we had to sort out some tech issues. But we have got four speak pipes to play for you today.
Whew.
Four definitely different people calling into the show with their thoughts. That's exciting stuff.
It's definitely four people, not one person who thinks that he is a master of characters or even really has different voices all that much. So just wanted to preference that with definitely not a sociopath.
Yeah.
It's definitely four people.
It's definitely several people. For sure.
Let's get to the first one, all right?
All right. Good. Here goes.
I think this one comes from overseas.
Yes, this is Nicole, your biggest fan of the entire Giant Size Team Up Network. And I just wanted to call in and say that while I don't actually like your show, Breaking the Panel, I have to say that my favorite episode was the one with Dennis on it. It was the most insightful and best ever. I give it a 10 out of 10, would recommend, if not for the fact that the rest of you are on it. If you could just have Breaking the Panel where it's just Dennis talking to himself in a mirror for 3, maybe 4 hours, that would be the best.
Too real.
I don't know who this Kurt or Covert person is, but they suck. And good to say. Also, Charles, I don't know how you are wrong on so many things all of the time, but you are. I just don't understand it. And lastly, I just have to confess that when you guys are on stream, and I get very angry when you do your German accent, I'm not actually angry because your accent is so bad. I'm angry because it's so accurate. Like, I have to be on here in Austria in order to get this accent. And then you guys just switch. It's not fair, okay? I took 21 years worth of work to get this accent, and you just do it, okay? So stop it. It makes me feel inferior. Okay? I don't like it.
That was speak pipe number one.
I'm sorry.
You know, I was going to say from staunch supporter of the network in all of its many varieties, Nicole.
I'm just happy that she finally called in and felt the urge to leave us a voicemail.
Yep.
I'm thankful for everything that she does, and she's a wonderful mod for all the channels over at Botched and here at the network.
Yeah, she's also the mod on your and my personal streams as well. Because, we need someone to do the heavy lifting around here.
Oh, yeah. And she's great because she'll always tell me, why are you streaming? You were terrible at this video game. There's a reason nobody is watching. Why am I modding nobody? Yep. Supportive words, just like, I'm used to from my father.
And if someone does show up, immediately with the hammer. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Why?
This is my personal stream.
Why are you here? Oh, man. Well, it was nice to hear from her. What else do we got?
All right. So this one hits a little bit closer to home for me. I believe this is my friend and your acquaintance, Dennis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is Dennis, the world's most okayest DM. It's been a while since I've been on the show, so I just wanted to, call and check in. Mainly, I needed to call in because Kurt has been calling in and calling me out. And while I wish I could tell you how he was wrong, I wasn't actually paying attention to what he said. Typically, about 3 seconds into, him talking, the sound of the lotion and me masturbating is so loud that I can't actually make out the words that he says. It's more just the tone, like the reverberations. That's kind of what I'm into, but I just like to say that he's full of shit. and you suck, Charles. Love you, Phil. Bye.
Love you, Phil. Yeah. Bye.
He's a good guy. I'm a little confused on why they're using our show as their platform to feud upon.
Well, somebody's got to call in, right?
Well, I guess, they could start their own show and they could fight on their own show. But like Charles always says, if he's not a part of it, it doesn't get off the ground. So
yeah, that's not entirely inaccurate. Yeah, a little too real. All right. What else we got?
Well, this one is, you know, we normally don't talk politics on BTP, but since the deity from down south is not here, we're going to break that rule a little bit. We have a president who was actually a fan of the show.
Oh.
And, here, let's take a listen to what he has to say. Certainly won't be crude.
Okay.
Hi, this is President Bill Clinton. Just wanted to call and say hi. The show was recommended to me by a friend. And, well, just got to tell you that it sucks. It sucks for you, Monica. And I know how much she sucks. Hillary might be listening. Never mind. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. You guys know the shtick by now. It's fine. Whatever. Listen, I just got to say that it has to be some sort of constitutional offense that Charles can say the things that he says and more people don't get outraged. I just have to say that. Also, good on you, Paul, for being corporate chill just like me and my wife. Really appreciate it. Way to stick in there for our corporate brethren. Phil, you're just a greasy eye tie. But, hey, love you. Thanks for the pasta and all that. So, yeah, I'm going to get back in my car. Real fast. And then, yeah, fuck off.
Just a filthy eye tie. Holy shit. Oh, I love that Dennis's best material is 20 years old. That is, some inside baseball. We internally occasionally discuss the fact that Dennis kind of like gets in a rut material wise, and he's like a voice or a thing that he goes to over and over again until he's killed it, and then he finds something else. The fact that he's recycling material from 20 years ago is so impressive.
It's no, fuck you, Paul. Yeah. This has just hit the Appalachia. Yeah. Fucking new to him.
They're still riveted by impeachment coverage.
Yeah, we're still in the middle of Desert Storm.
Yeah. People in Appalachia have been hearing all this grumbling about potential impeachment, and then it finally showed up. and now they understand what all the hubbub's about. Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, I'm glad that the president and I are still on good terms. I'm a social butterfly. I can't help it. Mm. Now we got one more. In tradition with this show, we don't talk politics and we don't talk sports. But once again, we are in charge. The people are in charge. You know.
We've seized the memes of production.
And with the memes of that is we're going to talk a little baseball real quick. We have a Hall of Fame baseball announcer, which is rare, especially since he's dead. So let's get to our final speak pipe here. Here we go.
Hi, Eric Carra here. I just want to call in and ask a question. Well, this question's for you. If Paul or Charles were a Nintendo guy, would you fuck him? Well, come on, would you? I know I would. I'd drink a cool Budweiser and eat a whole mess of hot dogs. Charles could get behind that one, I'm sure. But anyways, I just wanted to call in and ask that question. I'm sure your answer's going to be just awesome. Anyway, Cubs win. Cubs win.
Cubs win indeed. So, yeah, if you like Dennis's bad impressions, you should definitely tune in on Sunday evenings to Booze and Borderlands, hosted by Charles and Philip, and the other three of us not ready for the front page streamers. And, thanks, Den.
You know, Den, for someone who has no time to do anything, you really hit it out of the ballpark. I'm glad that you could step away from researching and writing your novel to come in and do a little voiceover work for us. So thank you. And you know what? I love you. Jesus Christ.
Wonderful. Well, We got a couple more topics to talk about this week. Netflix didn't pay taxes for 2018. Apparently, this isn't much of a, like, you know, deep topic or anything, and we don't talk politics, so we're not going to talk about the implications of the current administration's tax plans and how they impact businesses like Netflix, but there's some outrage going around based on this article because the earnings report shows that Netflix is not paying taxes for last year. As a matter of fact, they're expected to get about a $44 million return on their taxes, which the reason I brought this to the table is because this, you know, I imagine part of that is the accounting side of all the debt they're sitting on from all the, you know, all the debt they took on to do all this original programming and everything else that they've done. Obviously another part of it is, you know, tax policy that's been enacted by, you know, here in the United States by our government. But yeah, so I guess that's good news for them.
No. Well, yeah, it's good news for them, sure.
For the company, is it good news for everyone? Is it good news for the industry? It does beg the question: how many other companies in a similar position are also not paying taxes? But the big thing here is like that's going to bring into question: could Netflix still be profitable and still, you know, generate the kind of revenue that they do if they actually were held accountable for their tax burden?
No. No, the answer is no.
Yeah.
No. And, you know, last year, their biggest year of all time for Netflix.
Yeah.
They had a number of record number of subscribers. Their profitability was bigger this year than the last 4 years combined. My tongue tastes good. I like biting it.
So. Yeah. There's not a lot to dive into there that is in the preview of this show, but we have talked about the amount of debt they've taken on in the past. We have talked about how they're doing. We've talked about their price increase recently in the last couple weeks. Some might beg the question, why the fuck is the price going up if you're not paying any taxes? But,
surely they're going to roll in all the money that they're saving on taxes back into the employees that are on the lower end of the Netflix scale, not just go into the CEO and the investors' pockets. Surely.
Surely.
Don't call me Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley.
Let me mute real quick my own mic.
Oh, man. Philip is having a little bit of a mini meltdown. So the next topic here is also about business in the industries that we care about in our fandoms. This is a bit of a soapbox moment for me. So, you know, for those of you who love my soapbox moments, unzip and grab a bottle.
Jesus Christ.
Get your justice boners out. So there's been a lot of news in the PC gaming community about the fact that Epic Games launched their store recently. We've talked about that a bit in the past. But one of the big things that come out of it is they've recently started acquiring titles as platform exclusives. The latest high profile one in any case being the Metro series, which is, for those who are unfamiliar, the newest Metro game is about to come out. It is a series of first-person shooters based in a post-apocalyptic Russia. People are living in the sewers and the tunnels, the subway of Russia. And from, I believe it's nuclear fallout, so I think there's like mutants and stuff and all that kind of stuff. I haven't played through any of them yet. It's a popular series. It's a popular series on PC because it's always been based on PC. I'm not even sure if any of these games have ever been ported to consoles at all.
I think so.
there was a bit of hubbub last week when one of the developers who works on the game said, well, because people were talking boycott because of all of this, there was some hubbub where people were saying, well, or one of the devs said, basically, like, well, if this game underperforms, then, you know, you can just say goodbye to Metro, and Metro will probably be developed for consoles rather than PC in the future.
Don't you guys have phones? Sorry, yeah. That's my favorite developer line.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's, yeah. Which the publisher walked back. The publisher who made the decision to go with Epic said, no, that's not the case. That developer is just speaking passionately about a project that they work on, and that, you know, the work that they do on the Metro games is generally well received. It gets good critical review. The fans like it. And so to have their project brought into question because of a business decision that was completely outside of their realm of influence, there's some frustrated people at the development studio, and it's understandable. But there was another conversation that popped up today in the PC gaming subreddit about, you know, this whole Metro situation. And I see a common argument in these threads where people are trying to argue that Epic Games buying other titles as store exclusives is anti-competitive and not okay. And what I wanted to dive in on that is, first things first, it should be noted that this game was previously available on Steam. It has been removed from Steam. Pre-orders that were on Steam will be honored, though, because there were pre-orders going out on Steam. The way I attack this is I refute people who try to say that it's anti-competitive. This is the definition of competition. It sounds anti-competitive, but it's only anti-competitive in regards to the one game, you know, or the handful of games that they're able to purchase in this way. Because there's the whole swath of PC gaming that is still wide open, you know what I mean? And there's no reason why, if you don't like that Epic Games bought the rights to Metro and you don't want to support that, there's hundreds, thousands of other games, hundreds of games that will come out this year that you can go spend your money on and buy instead and go play those. Many of them will be on Steam as well as other platforms. But it's a really perplexing argument to me because Steam has enjoyed a near monopoly on PC gaming for about a decade now. Right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah. And they're... Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and they're what? Go on.
No, you are completely right. They have no fucking competition. Yep. You know, GOG is there.
The big thing about GOG is the games you buy from GOG are DRM-free.
Correct.
Which they do a lot of business because of that. So people who are interested in being able to, you know, download the files for the games that they buy, having them forever, having them no DRM checks, that's why they go through GOG. GOG is good. And that's the thing. That's the kind of market niche that can work for you. You know, if you're like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to focus on only carrying titles that are like this. There's a couple other storefronts out there, you know what I mean? And obviously you've got your Ubisoft selling through Uplay. You've got your Microsoft selling through the Windows Store. You know, there's
EA.
They all have their own unique storefronts and launchers. People find that frustrating, and I get that. And I'm not going to argue that Epic throwing some of this money that they've brought in because of Fortnite around is cool. There's definitely... I'm not going to say it's shady, and not even going to stoop so far as to say it's scummy. They're definitely making a power play. They're sitting on insane amounts of capital. They're one of the only companies in gaming right now that just is flush with cash, as opposed to everybody else who's trying to struggle to get revenue to come in that kind of amount. they're flexing that opportunity. They have the capital right now to turn around and try to establish themselves as the next Valve or a major competitor to Valve. And so that's why they're throwing money at some of these games to bring over as exclusives to entice people over. But that's just competition. And no. So if your subjective, my stance is, if your subjective opinion is you don't like that, that's fine. Don't buy from them. But it's not uncompetitive to do it, because I mean, we're talking about a near monopoly here.
It doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry, it really doesn't. The argument that these people are having is fucking ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, Target has exclusive rights to, you know, a bonus feature in a DVD, but I hate Target and I only shop at Walmart. This is horse shit. It's like, well, exclusivity and gaming are fucking, you know,
yeah,
the turtles so happy together. It has always been there, especially, and I know we're talking about PC gaming, mm-hmm, but look at exclusive gaming on consoles,
which is a controversial topic. Yep.
But I mean, it's been happening since the dawn of time.
The
dawn of time.
These consumers, and I understand where they're coming from. I often judge things as a consumer, and I'm a big consumer advocate, and I often support consumer advocate causes and perspective, but our arguments have to stay in the realm of, like, if you're going to argue that this was a bad move from Epic on a consumer standpoint, and you want to tear down their platform and all the security issues and the lack of customer service and this, that, and the other thing, yes, 100%. You're valid. You have valid arguments here. And go at them. Go at Epic hard. Be like, bam, 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 bam. This is why you suck. This is why this move sucks. This is why this was shitty for you to do. I'm not going to get in your way on that. I might even join you and you know, raise my pitchfork as well. But when you try to say that it's not competitive to do that, that's false.
It's dog shit.
If your perspective is going to be, you know, consumer focused, if your perspective is going to be subjective, you have to attack it that way. And you have to acknowledge it. You'll be like, listen, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't come across as good. It's a bad look, Epic. We don't really like it. And this is why. But you also have to be honest about your critique, because if you're pissed off at Epic throwing some money around to grab a couple of games, what about Valve? Valve has had a near monopoly for a decade. Are you really going to support them? You know, like, are you, like, you're going to say that they're the moral authority in gaming? It took forever to get some of the major advancements we have in PC gaming, in particular the price protection, not price protection, but purchase protection for, you know, what is now considered the norm, is the, you know, the Steam return policy of being able to try something out for up to 2 hours. You know, if you buy a digital game on Steam and you try to launch it and it just crashes out on you over and over again, you can get your money back. It's actually a no questions asked return policy on almost anything. It took forever. That's only been in place for like 3 years. So, you know, they're not saints of, you know, business where they're like just giving so much value to consumers. They do give value, and I'm not trying to say that they don't. But the other thing I pointed out is because somebody was like, man, why are there so many people who like label us who have this opinion as like entitled and you know, being outrageous or whatever. And I'm like, well, cause it is like, it's inherently entitled to take this position. It's fine to be entitled on things sometimes, but be aware of your entitlement. You're upset because a game you were going to buy on one service is being moved to a different service. The reality is 99% of consumers, unless there's a major issue with Epic and your ability to access the game, are going to buy the game in this other storefront and they're going to play it, and their experience playing the game itself is not going to change. Because we're not talking about like a Battlefront 2 type thing where we know that EA went in and literally changed the way the game is played for Battlefront 2 to accentuate microtransactions and to inspire people to spend money. That's different. That they took an otherwise promising game and ruined it to try to grind microtransactions out of it. This is just a, you know, your run-of-the-mill, story-driven not run-of-the-mill, but you know, your story-driven first-person shooter that you're going to buy for the same price, and you're going to play it, and you're going to get the same enjoyment out of it. The other thing I always bring up is how many of these motherfuckers, and I do mean it, motherfuckers, are posting these opinions from an Apple device or from a Windows PC? You want to talk about anti-competition? Apple and Microsoft have been guilty of so many anti-consumer and anti-competition moves over the years. I mean, Microsoft literally blocked other companies out of the industry. Like, they pushed them out. If they couldn't buy them out, they did everything that they could to undermine them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
There's legendary stories about this. Apple, we know that Apple has done everything they can to crush, like, small repair shops that repair their products so that you have to go through them. We know that they design with planned obsolescence. On top of that, we also know that they rely on questionable labor standards in foreign nations. You know what I mean? Sweatshops, I'm going to put it that, you know, I'm going to say it brutally honest. They underpay and overwork their workers in China. We know that that has been a thing. And other firms are guilty of this too. Other stores that you would buy products from are guilty of this. You know, you brought up Walmart a second ago, Phil. We know that Walmart doesn't pay its workers enough. We know that they exploit loopholes in tax law and employment laws to, you know, get people to work just under full time so that they, you know, to pay people just enough so that they qualify for benefits, but that they will need to rely on, but don't pay them enough to take care of themselves. You know what I mean? Like, there's all this stuff. So if your big argument is big, bad, epic, but game I want play and put on my platform, but I want on this platform. Yes, that's entitled, dude. I'm sorry. I'm going to mock you. I'm going to call you out because you probably posted it from a device that, you know, that is made by a company that is also guilty of wrongs.
Yeah.
Anti-consumer, anti, you know, anti-fair labor, anti-fair practice within the industry. I'm sorry, dude. Like, Microsoft, why does everybody who PC games own a Microsoft machine? A Windows machine. Because even people who run Linux have to have Windows, you know, compatibility. Yep. Because Microsoft created a monopoly and then they defended it. You know what I mean? They've never had a true challenger in that regard. Charles runs into that issue all the time playing on a Mac. But he's also emulating Windows through a, you know what I mean? Through a Mac. So
now, doesn't Epic have a better payback for developers than Steam does?
That is supposed to be the way that the deal works, yes. And also, on top of that, to secure the exclusivity, this is something I pointed out to somebody on Reddit. You have to realize that, I forget which studio develops Metro, but they're a Russian developer. You have to realize that this was probably a major golden ticket for them.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A company that's flush with money comes to them and say, hey, listen, come be exclusive on our platform. We will pay you X amount of money, or we will drastically increase your percentage of sales. I'm sure it's some combination of both, because I'm sure they had to shell out for it. For a European developer like that, that's a huge windfall. You know, there's a lot of, like, relatively small developers in, you know, Europe and in Asia that could definitely use that kind of a cash injection. And that might have secured the future of the Metro series for years. That might be another couple games because of how much they might have been offered, or, you know, whatever. So I'm not saying that for sure. I'm saying I would guess that the reason that the company would make that decision, the publisher would make that decision, is because it was a slam dunk no-brainer. It was like, oh, look at all this. Look at this mountain of money we've been offered. Which is also an arguable benefit to Epic. Has made mountains and mountains of cash off of Fortnite in a relatively short period of time. They're spreading the love. Yes, they're trying to build for to carve out future market share for their services. They're trying to transition into being a company more like Valve, but they're also a company that has contributed a lot to the industry through the Unreal Engine. Yes, they charged for licenses for it, but their whole deal with anybody who sells on their shop, and the fact that the licensing fees come out of the overall cut that they would normally take anyways, is amazing. You know what I mean? So yeah, there's some shortcomings with Epic, though. I don't want to completely defend them.
No.
There's some huge concern, security concerns. People are like, yeah, they don't have the security in place. So your account could potentially get hacked pretty easy. As a matter of fact, my Epic Games account, I get a notification that somebody tries to log into my account every week.
I don't get it every week, but it happened to me once and then I two-offed it. You know, as soon as I two-offed it, I stopped getting those emails.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happens a lot, but it's mind-blowing to me. It's mind-blowing to me. I'm sorry. It's anti-competition to have more than one outlet for games. It's right. anti-competition for Wendy's and Burger King to open up restaurants after McDonald's. that's what it feels like to me. It's just
it's so funny you brought that up. Did you see the whole thing with McDonald's losing a case in Europe based around their IP ownership of the word Mac because of the Big Mac?
Yes.
They challenged it in court someplace in Europe because there's an Irish or a Scottish Irish restaurant chain called like something that uses Mac in the word, like Big Mac Daddies or something like that. Not really. That's not the
sure name. sure.
But they took them to court over it because and this company has been around for like 15 years 20 years, but they're only a chain in like Ireland. Take them to court, and the court makes the ruling where they're like, no, you're full of shit, like, you dumb dicks, get out of here. Which any court that rules on something like that in the EU, it spreads through all of the EU instantly, you know?
Yeah.
And so they basically got super fucked by this ruling. And now there's like, I saw a billboard from I think it was a Burger King in like Sweden or something, where it's like every line on the menu is like macking off or making fun of them.
Yeah, no. Macking off on them. Yeah.
It's like, oh, the not a Mac burger, and you know, did you not want a Mac for these fries? And like, oh my God, it's so funny, because that is an example of a company who is trying to engage in anti-competitive behavior.
Yeah.
Trying to sue a small chain into the ground over using a word that's similar to one of the, you know what I mean?
I do, but it's just also silly that people think that Steam is my friend. Steam doesn't give a fuck about you. Like,
yeah, one of my arguments is competition would be good. I would like to see Valve clean up house. Valve is a sloppy company. They don't have a traditional hierarchy in their business. Now, some would argue that that's a good thing. It's not. Because they're not producing game development like they used to. A lot of the stuff that they produce for Steam is unnecessary. Like, people are like, oh, but there's like all the trading cards and the emotes and all the social features in Steam. And I'm like, who fucking cares about all of that? And they're like, well, I do. My wife likes it. And I'm like, so you're one of the like 5% of people who use Steam who actually care about getting trading cards, who care about like, you know, joining the discussion forums, who worry about who's on your friends list when you are playing a game on Steam. Like, come on, man. Do I want that stuff to all disappear? No, but like, your argument is that like, oh, that stuff is so great. It's like, but it's lost on so many people. And we don't need all of it, for sure. And the other thing is, like, you look at stuff like, you know, the Steam Link. That was a failed product. It's a cool idea, but it's a failed product.
Oh, no, we all have one because they dropped down to, like, $2.
I wanted to get one, but they're out of stock when it dropped down to $2. The other thing is, like, the Steam controller. It was a cool idea. It's a really kind of awkward controller, though. So, you know what I mean? And my whole thing is, like, I'd like to see them, you know... The other thing is, they're not publicly traded. So Valve is just this private company that does whatever the fuck they want. And while I realize that stockholders and the internet, not the internet, the market, the stock market, drives companies to engage in some really shitty behavior, it also holds them somewhat accountable, because you get to look at their earnings reports. You get to see how they're actually doing as a company. You get to see what they're investing in, you know, as far as initiatives within the company, because they have to report to their shareholders. Private companies don't have to do any of that. We don't have to see their numbers. We don't know how much money Valve makes. and we may not ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of weird how they made this fictitious, you know, company called Aperture, you know, where they're very private in what they do and really not for the people inside the game world. You know, yeah. It's really, where did they find the inspiration to create Aperture Science? Definitely.
You know, what's funny is when they came up with that concept, though, they were not that company yet.
Well, I understand that, but, yeah. You know, life, art imitates life. Life imitates art. I mean, yeah. They're kind of falling into that Aperture Science role.
Also, the other thing about Steam is this is people who maybe haven't been around forever don't understand. The whole reason that Steam started to kick off was because there were a number of games that they went to Valve to handle all of their multiplayer. So you had to play through Steam in order to play multiplayer on a whole shitload of games 10 years ago. You know, especially a lot of first-person shooters. Any lobby shooters,
yep.
You had to go through Steam. And so that forced people onto the platform, and here we are. You know what I mean?
No, so, completely. You know, no, I get, and trust me, you know, I'm talking a lot of shit against Steam, but, you know, I've been using it for, 10 years.
I have 300-plus games on Steam. I don't want to see them disappear or anything. I don't want Valve either, to go away. I do want Valve to be a better company, though. I do want I want them to stop resting on their laurels. I think that, you know, I see some positive efforts from them, but I also think they need to tighten their belt a little bit. I'd like to see their game development pick up some steam. They have released some stuff recently. They released Artifact. That game is going to bomb. It already bombed. It has less than 500 concurrent players at any time right now. The game's 2 months old. That's horrible. Like, no games are that bad. No real games from a real developer are that bad. They've released Auto Chess, Dota Auto Chess. That's been really popular with a lot of people right now. That's cool. That's a success story, you know what I mean? But they can do more. They can clean up. They can be more competitive both on the dev end and also with the consumer end. They can, you know, definitely keep doing, like, pushing the social aspects of their platform, but let's have some reasonable goals, you know what I mean, and expectations. Let's not try to reinvent Facebook within your app because nobody needs that. Like, we literally do not need that, I promise you. So let's bring back Half-Life. Let's get a Team Fortress 3.
No. You know, those things. No. You've talked me out of everything that I've wanted from Valve. You know, on the first hour that I met you.
Yeah.
Like, here is a PowerPoint presentation on why you don't want this. And I was like, you're right. I don't want this anymore. Now, they have a game coming out this year called In the Valley of Gods. And I only know about that because I'm on their Wikipedia page. But it doesn't seem like there's enough information out there about it yet. So we'll see. But, I mean, competition is good for everybody. Everybody. Yes. Everybody. Mm-hmm. I personally, I look at other Twitch streamers and I look at other D&D shows to see what people are doing, especially people that are successful in doing these things, and how can I take and learn what they're doing to make my brand and my corporation of Botched and Imaginary Nomad better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's capitalism 101, right?
Yeah. I have more to add on that note when we get to the end of the show, because there's something I want to check out and I wanted to mention it to you because I wasn't sure if you're aware of it. But we have one last article here before we talk about what we've been reading, watching, playing. This I got in the middle of the show, so there's not a lot of meat on this bone. But basically, BAFTA has removed Bryan Singer's name from Bohemian Rhapsody's Outstanding British Film nomination in response to the accusations against him. Now, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. I believe we're all in agreement that Bryan Singer is a monster, allegedly, but more than likely, definitely.
I heard that he's rumored to direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Is that not real?
Unlikely. You know, in the thread on Reddit that this article was attached to, somebody was like, dude, this is a sign that the industry's finally folding on him. I understand he got a settlement from the studio behind Bohemian Rhapsody to $40 million for, like, you know, basically, here's your money. Now, please fuck off. But, like, he's probably not going to have a lot of opportunities. People are talking about the Red Sonja project. They're like, you know, that's still a thing. He's still technically attached to that. And it's like, I feel like they're either going to detach him from that, or that movie is going to get torpedoed. That film is going to get buried by the press before it ever has a chance to do anything. If he's the director of that project. And I agree with that. I thought that was a really sage comment. Cause that's absolutely the sort of thing that would happen.
Well, so. I have always been anti Singer. Not really his movies per se, because Apocalypse is wonderful, but, yeah, I hope they fucking run him across the rails.
Yeah.
And, I can tell you that going to his Wikipedia page a couple weeks ago, when the Golden Globes happened, he had a lot of, you know, things lined up past Bohemian Rhapsody, and he doesn't anymore. So I don't know if he's slowly being just removed from the narrative or erased from the narrative, but...
I think he's getting a less high-profile treatment than Kevin Spacey's received.
Probably. You know, if I go to my mom and say, who do you know, Kevin Spacey or Bryan Singer? she'll definitely be able to pick out the Spacey more than fucking Singer. But yeah, I don't see anything past Red Sonja. So I wouldn't be surprised if that is just destroyed.
Moving on to wrap things up, playing, watching, reading. I streamed the other day for the first time in a couple of weeks, yesterday I streamed for 3 hours. Nicole and a couple other people were in there. I got hazed a little bit by Nicole for getting salty while I played Magic on stream, because I just got completely screwed by the random shuffler in Magic Arena. I was playing draft and I saw 14 out of 17 lands. For anybody who plays Magic, you wouldn't understand that. Out of, you know, 19 cards, I was frustrated, to say the least. I'm hoping to stream some more going forward. I tried streaming Mutant Football League the other day before the Super Bowl, but it did not go well because my Elgato was not passing sound through OBS, and so you couldn't hear the game sound, which is half the fun of that game. I also got creamed, and, you know, we're not going to talk about sports, but let's just say that last Sunday was a good day for me, even though it actually wasn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't know what happened to Paul's audio. I guess the audio dropped out on Paul.
Very soon, actually this weekend, I believe, I have a friend who has assured me that I'm going to get access to the Division 2 beta. So I'm excited to check that out. Apparently anybody who pre-ordered the game is getting 3 codes to share with friends. So that should be a cool thing. And Phil, you just mentioned that, Sea of Thieves is going to be free this weekend.
Yes. It's an invite a friend, you know, if you already have access, you are gifted a code to give access to a friend.
Awesome.
So me and Dennis both have it. So we're going to be hopefully gifting our access to some coworkers here at the network. and we'll see about that.
And then the last thing I had was not something I've watched yet, but something I saw advertised and I'm excited about, which is Geek and Sundry is launching a new D&D show DM'd by Deborah Ann Wall. And I'm a big fan of her. And they have some pretty fucking amazing people on that show. Did you see who's on it?
I mean, they called me about it. And I am obligated to stay with this network. So I unfortunately had to, I said, you know, this is very nice, but you know, I'm a partner here. So I'm going to have to decline, but you can call my friend Kevin. You know, he's a beanpole now. He looks very ill, but you could try him. So I think she called this dude over in Red Bank, New Jersey, right?
Yep.
I saw that Kevin Smith is on it.
Yeah, Kevin Smith is on it. Simone Missick from, you know, who played Misty Knight on Luke Cage and Iron Fist. She is on it as well. There are a couple other interesting people. Shiva from The League.
Whoa.
Yeah, she plays a character on it as well.
That's great. I like her a lot.
I love her. She's great.
She really came into her own in the last two seasons of that show.
Yeah. And she's been great on a few other things she's been on as well. Yeah. So, Matthew Lillard, Shaggy. Shaggy, the most powerful man in the universe right now. Matthew Lillard, if you follow meme culture. I think it's so funny that he's doing a D&D show for Geek and Sundry at the height of his current popularity. Go on.
I understand what you're saying, but for a hot second, I thought they got him and also reggae superstar Shaggy.
No.
And I was really excited to hear Mr. Boombastic come out and roll some 20s.
No, not quite.
Damn.
But yeah, there's all kinds of interesting people. And I'm excited to check it out. Now, it seems like... Charlie Cox as well, who's none other than Daredevil / Matt Murdock. It seems like Charlie Cox, Kevin Smith, Matthew Lillard, Janina Gavinkar, which is Shiva, and Simone Missick are all guests, so they might only be on for a couple episodes or something like that, or an episode.
Sure.
But it's still really super cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the what Harmontown, or HarmonQuest does. They bring in, you know, a guest for every episode that they produce.
So I'm really excited to check that out. Now, that's not to shit on our resident D&D show.
No, we get it.
Botch Podcast. But I think, if you guys have been smart enough to ask Kevin Smith to come be on your show before this point, I'm sure they tossed a pile of money out.
No, we don't. We don't deal with vegans.
Is he a vegan now?
Yeah.
Is that how he went from, you know?
He had to. Like,
right.
The doctor said, you can't live like this anymore. And he's like, well, better go vegan.
Wow.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm excited to check that out. It's called, the name I always forget, Relics and Rarities.
It's called Botched Podcast. Oh, yeah. He's muted. So, I mean, it's obviously called Botch Podcast. So,
I may just end up watching an equal amount of this show as I have listened to Botched, which is an episode or two and then just be done. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Well, you know, yeah. Why listen to the back catalog when you can get it right in your face every Sunday night over at FTH Beyond on Twitch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Phil.
All right.
What have you been doing?
So I have had a really weird week.
Go on.
I actually committed to content this week.
Content.
I watched a movie that came out this year.
Go on.
I saw Ant-Man and the Wasp because it finally hit Netflix.
Okay. And? It came out last year, by the way, you dumb dick.
Fiscal year.
No, it was last fiscal year, too.
No, it was a fiscal year. It's my fiscal year.
Your fiscal year.
I didn't like it.
Yeah?
I did not like it. Now, with that said, I don't think it was a bad movie. I don't think that the jokes were bad. It was just very predictable for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was... And I kind of didn't like that they made Goliath like a pseudo bad guy. That didn't really sit well in my tummy. Cause like I was real amped to like have Goliath come in and then have him be like, I'm like kind of an anti-hero, anti-bad guy. Cause like I'm doing this for good, but I'm still fucking you over.
Yeah.
So that kind of just didn't sit well with me. But with that said, the whole quantum realm parts were very, very interesting, and I enjoyed how they did the twitchiness of Ghost. And I am curious, spoilers, it's been out forever, which, and I knew this before I saw the movie, I'm very curious on how all Paulie Rudd is going to get out of the quantum realm now that everyone else has been turned to ash around him. Yeah. And we know he survives. We've seen the trailer for Endgame, so we know that that comes out. So I didn't like it as much as I liked the first one. I actually had fun for the first one. I just, I think my favorite part of this movie was not only the cardboard box ant trap maze house slide that he made for him and his daughter, but I also think that the funniest actor and the shining star of this entire film was Michael Peña.
Mm-hmm.
I need TV series or just 10-minute YouTube clips of him doing things in that character of Lewis. Because mm-hmm. that character is wonderful. And every yeah. time he was on the fucking screen, he just destroyed it.
Yeah, I agree.
And even the three of them, and I don't know the actors or have it in front of me, but the three gentlemen that work inside the security shop, the ex-con security mm-hmm. shop, the chemistry was really great between the three of them, and that whole truth serum scene really fucking ignited laughter out of me, especially because he goes into quite great detail about the love and admiration for Morsi that almost 90% of Hispanic people have in this world. The fact that that came up on my screen completely broke me. Because it's a thing, it's a stereotype, but it's not, because they love, you know, I know a lot of Puerto Rican and Mexican dudes who just are obsessed with Morsi, and I don't know why, and I love that they kind of went into that a little bit, so that, mm-hmm. that made me smile.
Well, that was one of the plot hooks, a minor plot hook, for one of the characters in Orange is the New Black, one of the Puerto Rican girls.
Well, certainly, yes. Yeah, yeah. It's just, these aren't just the two things in media that,
yeah.
you know, I know a couple dudes who are just like, yeah, I love Morsi and the Smiths. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? All right, right on. We have some common ground.
Yeah.
We can hang out and smoke cigarettes under the stairs at the school. So that was the newest thing I watched this week. Something that I said last week about Hulu that I have to toll back, just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to watch anime, Hulu is the place to do it.
Probably. Yeah.
I'm not an anime person.
Crunchyroll.
But
Crunchyroll's a promised land, but yeah.
I'm talking the big three, your mm-hmm. Netflix, your Prime, and your Hulu. I don't really watch anime. I'm not an anime fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I started Cowboy Bebop this week. And I watched 10 episodes in one sitting.
Yeah, exactly, because it's amazing.
So I'm considering this show a gateway show or a recruiter show, because in my head, every show is going to be this fantastic.
No.
And now it's got me like searching other anime that's on Hulu, because I know that I'm not going to have much Cowboy Bebop back. Now, look, I've seen a couple loose episodes here and there in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. You know, on Adult Swim, when Adult Swim was first starting, but I never really sat down to watch the entire series. This shit is fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
this is so goddamn good.
You know, they're working on a movie for it.
I know this because as soon as I fucking get anything inside my veins that I enjoy, I obsess over it and just try to sponge up as much knowledge as possible. This is like Blade Runner plus Firefly
mm-hmm.
plus cool dudes that don't give no fucks.
Yeah.
My God, what? Who? Yeah. So. It's been great, and I've looked at some of the catalog of, like, anime that people say you must see because it's fantastic, and most of it is on Hulu. So fuck their commercials, fuck their overlay, fuck everything else except that I get to watch Cowboy Bebop dubbed or in Japanese. I get the choice there, so I dig that.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I had a high school friend reach out to me and say, I kind of want to get into Kingdom Hearts, and I don't know where to start.
You don't.
And I said, well, you've got a family and you have kids, and I'm, I don't think that this is the route you want to go down. And she said, well, the kids are old enough to get their own food now. I said, you don't even have a PlayStation. She's like, I can get a PlayStation. I said, Dewey, you ain't want none of this shit. Get out of here. Get out of here, Dewey Cox. And she's like, no, I think I'm adult enough to do this. I said, great. Here are 10 games that you need to know inside and out. And here's how you do it. But after talking to her for about an hour and a half, I then found myself playing Kingdom Hearts 1.
Mm-hmm.
And logging, seven quick hours. Just, I looked at the clock, and you know,
and you got it's 7 hours. Oh, that was just long enough to get through the opening cutscene, right?
I didn't even get to a save point. I had to start back over. So yes, I've been playing a little bit of Kingdom Hearts 1.5 Final Cut on the PS4.
Hmm.
So, and then on my stream, I finished Mario Brothers Wii U Deluxe. After
yeah, you did
much abuse and getting shit on by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I had new people come in and just be like, Hey, pile it on this guy, right? Am I right? It's like, motherfucker, I don't know you. No, let's start a straw poll about this fuckhead.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
My favorite part about that straw poll was it was like, do you think Phil's doing a great job? Yes, no. Who's Phil?
Yeah, well,
who's Imaginary Nomad? I was like, I clicked that one.
But I finished it. You know, I finished the Mario part a week ago. I finished the Luigi part this week. And now I'm kind of sitting in this limbo of, I don't know what to do. I don't know what Switch game I should play next. I tried to go back to Octopath. That didn't work for me. I just ended up streaming Mario 3 from the NES. And I'm kind of sitting in this conundrum of, where do I go with this stream? And what do I really want to be playing on it next? You know, because I can't wait till Celeste comes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't. Like I physically and for the stream quality, I cannot just not stream until Celeste comes out, because that could be March, that could be April.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, Animal Collective, the Switch game, Animal Collective. It's just anyway, Animal Crossing is coming out at some point. So, you know, I don't want to wait too long, because that's rumored to come out in April, possibly. So we'll see. We'll see. You can check out what decision I made on Monday at twitch.tv Imaginary Nomad. But that kind of fills up my week. Ant-Man and the Wasp was meh. And Cowboy Bebop is fucking so great. I want to get fit and start smoking cigarettes again so I can look like him. But I won't do either one of those.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, to wrap things up for this week, you can find Charles either puking or shitting his brains out in a bathroom stall near you. You can find myself over at twitch.tv/soapboxgsu. I could use some follows. I'm on the quest to get affiliated. And Botched Podcast got affiliated.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, let me talk about that real quick. Botch Podcast, we did a live stream real quick, really unannounced on Tuesday night. We played Mario Party, and it was a lot of fun. The whole cast had fun. The chat was just fucking flying past us left and right. That video is on our Twitch page over at twitch.tv/botchpodcast. But at the end of the night, we ended up getting affiliated right at the end. So I was pretty happy with the night on the whole. And keep your ears, eyes, and follow buttons on that channel because, well, after last night, it could turn into a monthly thing. We shall see.
Cool. Way to walk all over my self-promotion. Yeah, good job, bud.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm on the quest to get affiliated. Phil will also mention his channel, his personal channel. He's very much closer to getting affiliated than I am. So I'll be streaming more. You can also catch me on Twitter at twitter.com/soapboxgstu. I've been a little more active on Twitter lately. As Nicole, you know, big fan of the network and shows, said, I saw you tweet the other day and I thought like maybe your identity had been stolen. And, you know, that's not wrong. Yeah, it's not wrong to expect that. But, yeah, and you can catch me Sunday nights with this fool and the other fools on Booze and Borderlands. So that's good times. How about you, Phil? Where can everybody find you?
Imaginary Nomad, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, Instagram, your mama. I'm 12 followers away from being affiliated. So if it's not too much to, if it's not too much to ask, just go over to twitch.tv/imaginarynomad and just hit that follow button. It takes 2 seconds. I will appreciate it out of my little pasta filled heart.
All right, folks, we'll see you on the flip.
Oh boy, we won't. No, we won't. Come home, Chris, please.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.